Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I am at the website right now, and I'm reminded again, the tens of thousands of individuals who have been helped over the years because of this individual, Mary Jo Copeland. You just go to SharonandKarenHands.org, and you'll see so many pictures, including I'm looking right now at Mary Jo and Pope Francis right there. What an amazing moment. How you can donate, how you can volunteer, and a reminder of all the services. Mary Jo, you know this is one of our highlights when you're kind enough to join us. So first of all, I want to say Merry Christmas, and I want to ask how you're doing.
Shad, I've never been better. How would you say this? On top of the world and still climbing.
That's a great way to look at it, Mary. Fantastic.
I don't know how else to say. What else can I say? I couldn't say it any other way, but I am. I'm doing well. I'm doing helping a lot of people, and, you know, motion is the lotion. So if I have a little arthritis here and there, doesn't bother me a bit. I just keep moving.
What time do you get up, Mary?
Well, Shad, my hours are a little different. I'm up. I sleep sometimes here and there, and then I get up in the morning, and I pray all morning long, and then I come down, and I come down, and I do my office of the hours. You know, I'm like a contemplative nun without a habit. And then I go downstairs, and I fix up the meal for the breakfast, and I walk around. Then I say a few more prayers. I take care of everything. And then I can rest a little bit. Then I lay down for a while, and then I go down to Mary's place and see the family. So my day is kind of split up between prayer and work.
When you were praying, when you first get up, Mary, can you tell us about that and expand on that a little bit?
You mean what I say when I first get up?
Yep.
When I first get up, I say, thank you, God, for another day of life. Thank you for the privilege that you've given me to be able to take care of your poor. And sometimes it takes a little while for me to get the shower and get it done. But then I sit down and I say, boy, it is good to be here with you, Lord. You gave your life for all of us, and this is the least I can do for you, is to go down and give my life for others in honor of your love for me and the world.
Mary,
that's exactly what I say.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know that resonates across the globe with literally billions of individuals. For someone who's listening right now, and it was curious, and they don't pray, and they hear you talking about the power of prayer, what would you say to them if they're open-minded on the topic?
You know, it's funny when you said that, the power of prayer. There are people that don't understand it, but God loves all of those people too. And I think I would say to a person that doesn't pray, there is great power, great peace, and great strength in prayer. Even if we don't understand it, maybe just sitting alone sometime, letting the Spirit, whatever you believe in, come into your heart and ask, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? Is there really a God? Look around. I say, take a moment and look at your life. Look at what you're doing with your life, and look at the God that gave you a world that you can do things in and make a difference. I understand that my thing with prayer is I want to bring prayer to the world. I want people to understand the power in it, but not everybody does. but they do understand us taking a moment, a piece in themselves, to find something that they can do for others. Maybe that's the answer to prayer.
Mary Jo Copeland is here. She has dedicated her life to helping others and dedicated her life to God, as you've heard. She is involved, and she is the reason that Sharing and Caring Hands exists. She's the reason why Mary's Place exists. Mary, if you were to describe for someone who doesn't know about Sharing and Caring Hands and doesn't know about Mary's Place, a typical day, how would you do that for them?
How would I tell? Well, you mean you want to ask me how I would describe a day to somebody?
Yep.
Well, you get up and we open the doors, and there people come through the line and they ask for help. There's all different kinds of needs. People are here in that line when I open it every day with many needs no fault of their own. Like I had a family walk in the shelter the other day. I just had a couple last rooms. The little girl says, I want to go back to my house. I don't want to be here. And the mother said, the mother has a heart problem, and the mother lost her house after 12 years. So I brought the little girl in, and I asked her about Christmas. And I think there's all sorts of different things like that. And then there's people that can't pay their copay. There's people that come up and need a bus ticket somewhere. There's people that need shoes. There's people that have got a car to. A lot of people just can't make it. One little thing, a house closing, maybe a job loss. It's just incredible. And then you go to the line, then they have breakfast. Then I come back and finish the line. Then I go across the street. There's almost 100 units filled over there with children. I try to see so many families a day. But then there's a tutor program. We could use some more tutors and volunteers. And they help the children that are behind in school. Then I come back here, open the line again, and have another lunch at 1 o'clock. It's kind of like a prayer and work. But boy, do people get hope. And when they find hope, Chad, they find peace. Even in the meal that someone brings them. If they have someone knows that someone cares, they don't have family. A lot of them have nothing. And how do you say, I can't do it all? But one person at a time and one volunteer at a time. People are out there can make a difference, and they will, and they have, and this community has. I just need a few more.
Well, you know, you mentioned hope, and we all need that. You know, we need that for the next hour. We need that for the next day. We need that for the next month. And when you meet individuals who, for various reasons, are doubting that their hope is still out there, it is extraordinary what you can do in providing them inspiration, a meal, housing, a path forward to convince folks that hope is still available to them.
You know, there's a little saying that I have. It's I got to tell it to you. Hope is not just a promise. It's people say, well, I say it's just a wish. It's just a wish. You know, people think that, well, we hope a wish. That doesn't mean anything, you know. But you know what I say? Inside each one of us, every human being that's listening to this, inside each one of us, God has placed a spirit that refuses to be broken. Nobody's spirit is broken. And that spirit is called hope. Each side one of us, and we never, like I said, people think, oh, I hope, but it won't get better. Yes, it will. We just have to have that promise that it will be better. And you know what's funny? When we look at hope, everybody needs it. You do, I do, we all do.
That
God will give us what's needed for today. We can't let yesterday take too much of today. A lot of things have happened in people's lives, Chad. And they'll say, yeah, it'll happen again. That's just discouragement. And discouragement doesn't elevate anybody. It keeps them down. And they have to look at the fact that when there's a rainbow out there, when there's a storm, God doesn't take away the storm, but he gives you the strength to bear the storm. Sometimes he calms the person instead of calming the storm. We have to listen to that voice. And that's what comes through silence and prayer. And for the people that don't pray, then come take some silence and look at their life. Look, they can count all the things that haven't happened in their life, Chad, but start looking at some of the things people have got in their life. I tell the poor that when they come, I bring them in the chapel, I pray. I said, you know, as hard as this is, you're finding some hope today. You can't worry about tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow, but you have today to be grateful for what we have this moment, this time. And like I said, inside each one of us, God has placed a spirit that refuses to be broken, and it's called hope. Don't let that spirit be broken. That's what I say.
I'm looking at the website right now. Excuse me. It's sharingandcaringhands.org. Again, sharingandcaringhands.org. You can learn all about the programs. You can donate. You can volunteer. So when we look ahead to the early part of next year, Mary, if individuals listening wanted to help, can you tell me where you most need some help right now, either at Mary's Place, Sharing and Caring Hands, or somewhere else within your organization?
I think one of the things I would say is right now we could use some more volunteers to help these kids to keep our reading program going. I need a couple more dentists. I finally opened my dental clinic after the COVID happened, and I've got a beautiful, because I'd opened that years ago, got a beautiful dental hygienist. We've got a couple of dentists. That's just a great need. People don't take care of their teeth. Also, volunteers that can call and donate. There's a lot of things they can do. Blankets, all sorts of household items. People can get together and have hygiene collections. There's schools. There's individuals. The other thing is, I've got groups for serving, but some of the areas are you know, a little light sometimes. People go on vacations. This is vacation time in the winter. They'll go on their little cruises.
Right.
And so I could use some volunteers to serve a meal or something. Anytime people want to say, what do you have? I have to talk to them. I'll have to see. But I can fit them in, but especially the dentist and the volunteer room down there.
Beautiful.
And to help these kids with reading. Oh, my gosh, if I could get a bunch of people to work with these children behind in reading, I could just, because, you know, people don't want to work. They don't have to work. They can volunteer. They'll get a lot of grace for that.
Last thing, Mary, when we get to a couple days from now, when it's Christmas, tell me what will be an ideal Christmas for you.
I think one of the ideal Christmases for me is to look around at all the hundreds of people that are living at Mary's Place that would have nowhere to go. If I could look there and look across the world, I would be so happy to know that I brought hope to people. It wasn't my grace that brought my, but it was God's grace that gave me the privilege of being able to sit back on Christmas and know there are a lot of people out there without going without hope. If I could say that to the world, to the community, the people that have helped this people kept going, the money, the time, I'm going to be here 40 years the next May. Mm. And I could only take one Christmas at a time and look around and say, thank you, God. Thank you for you using me. I'm just a little simple soul, not even known by anybody years ago. Just a simple soul said, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And I think I could thank God that I can bring that kind of hope. And I can, this is not a job. This is a way of life. And thank you for that, God. And thank you, the Blessed Mother Mary, for everything they've done for me.
Mary, this state and this world is better because of you. And every year, I'm reminded of that when I drive by Sharing and Caring Hands, when I donate in some way, and most importantly, when we've had these conversations year after year after year. You are an inspiration. We are better because of you. Thank you for everything you do. Only the best going forward. And I look forward to our next conversation, whether it's next Christmas or even sooner than then. And I hope you have a fabulous Christmas as you continue to help out so many people all across our state.
Thank you, Chad. And a day without Chad, without an interview, is a day without sunshine. I have to say that to the world. But thanks for the community and for all of WCCOI. I hope I live to be 100, because then we could still have our conversations. But
to.
I want you to stay around till that time, too, so we have to talk to
yes,
each other.
Yes, absolutely. That is a deal, Mary. Thank you so much.
Bless you and Merry Christmas, Chad. Okay.
She is Bye-bye. The best. Go to the website right now. Just take some time. Maybe you want to volunteer. Maybe you want to read to some kids. You can help out in the dental area. Maybe you can help out at either location, or maybe just you can donate some money. There's so many ways to help. We're talking about Mary Jo Copeland, sharingandcaringhands.org. Once again, sharingandcaringhands.org.